And now, broadcasting from their secret hideout, Checkpoint XP presents a show about comic books and superheroes. Robbie Landis, Joe Sloan, The Other Identity.
Fret not, listeners and fans of The Other Identity, for we are here. We have returned. What's up, Joe?
It's going good, man. Another day, another episode of The Other Identity.
You know what I really miss?
What do you miss?
I really miss the way that I used to intro it, you know?
Where, like, you got to call me your sidekick and I
well,
get
no,
mad about it?
No, I mean, you're still my sidekick, obviously, but, like, the way that I would bring it in, like, you know, is it I don't even remember what it is anymore, but, you know.
No, it's a podcast?
Yeah, that one.
Okay, so why don't you do that anymore?
Because I feel like we have an actual intro now.
Oh, okay.
Right? So that one doesn't quite fit with it.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't.
Right. So
I guess you need to find a new, like, opening catchphrase.
Well, and you know, something that I've taken from some of our coaching sessions that we've had through Checkpoint XP is don't be redundant, because, you know, and I notice I do this on Low Team Damage as well, as our intro says who we are, and then I'm like, welcome, I'm so-and-so, and this is so-and-so.
Right,
and
when the intro's already said who you
are. But, like, I still want, like... Like a catchphrase. Like, here more than anywhere, we need, like, a catchphrase.
Yeah, I mean, comic books are famous for catchphrases.
Exactly.
Maybe we should put it out to the chat. Maybe the chat should help us decide on what our catchphrase is.
Yes, the very chat that named our friend Kyle McKyleface. Definitely. Let's put it out to them.
Well, I guess you make a fair point.
Yeah, vetoing that one right here, right now. But welcome, everybody. Thank you for tuning in with us. You know, if you're live with us over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp, the biggest of thanks. But if you're also downloading because, you know, you can't make it live, you work during the day because you're a productive member of society, good for you. And, you know, we appreciate it anyway.
I guess we understand. I guess that's a good reason.
That
not
used to be
live.
Us one day. We used to be productive members. I mean, granted, we are still productive members of society, but, you know, we're just a little bit higher up the totem now that we're doing stuff that we love to be productive
in
society.
We're not working in a comic shop anymore. Now we talk about comics.
Or a retail clothing store.
Yeah, well, that had to be rough.
Yeah, man.
That couldn't have been any fun.
Yeah, it wasn't a whole lot of it.
No, I wouldn't imagine
so. Not as fun as it is here. But anyway, like you said, we could talk about comic books. And you actually decided what we're going to talk about today. It was supposed to be the newest quote-unquote Marvel movie that hit theaters, a.k.a.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah, somebody hasn't seen it
yet. No, I'm seeing it this weekend.
So you know what? Forewarning for those of you who watch and listen, next week we will be talking about Hobbs and Shaw. So if you plan on seeing it and you don't want to be spoiled, see it before next Thursday. But today we're actually going to be talking about the... the DC movie, the next DC movie that's set to come out.
Is it the next one? I guess it is.
I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah, it's the next one. And
when's Gotham City Sirens come out? I don't know. I have no idea.
Is that even? I don't even think that's
isn't Sirens
finished.
A thing?
Have they even filmed it? No. Discounting this one, I think the next one that we're planning on seeing will be Suicide Squad 2 or The Suicide Squad or whatever. Hey, James Gunn made it.
You got to keep sticking me with that. Yeah, I suppose
we can go into this one with cautious optimism. But speaking of optimism, apparently the Joker has been getting, like, rave reviews in the film circuit.
Yeah, so we are going to talk about Hobbs and Shaw this week, but we will talk about another movie. We're a couple months away yet from the Joker releasing, but it is now making its way around film festivals. Mm-hmm. And we got some quotes coming out of the Toronto International Film Festival, where the movie will be making its world premiere. So obviously it hasn't really been shown yet, but some of the higher-ups have gotten to see it. And they're speaking about it pretty positively. Here's a quote. It's not based on an existing story. It has one of the greatest actors in modern history or modern cinema, Joaquin Phoenix, in the lead, and Robert De Niro is in it as well. Did you know that Robert De Niro was in this movie?
I did not know Robert De Niro was in this movie.
He is, and they quote him as being one of the best actors that has ever lived, but it has an interesting tone and a new approach to it. It's set in the late 70s, early 80s, and it feels like it was made then. It's gritty in its look, it has references to Martin Scorsese's filmmaking, and it feels like a cinematic achievement on a high level. Although it's working with very populist material, it has great ambition.
All right. Well, first thing that I want to say in all that you just said is that I don't in any way, shape, or form feel that comic book movies need to be based on any specific source material. You know, for example, where Spider-Man's going in the MCU right now.
Yeah.
That isn't a story that's been told anywhere else.
Not that I can remember, no.
No. So that's not necessarily a prerequisite. That doesn't scare me.
No, it's fine to do something new.
Of course. And honestly, I think that film should, you know, when it comes to adapting comic books to film, I think that they should be less beholden to the source material, because A, you have 80 years worth to choose from, so who's to say what source material is the right one or the real
right
one?
Right, when you try to do everything, you get All-Star Superman.
Don't that's not a callback I want to make.
That's a fact.
Yeah, but I honestly the thing that I'm most cautious about or scared about is, you know, that it's DC doing it. I'm also not the biggest fan of Joaquin Phoenix. He's
okay.
He's fine as acting, but like as a person, I know he's kind of a scumbag.
Yeah. So here's my thoughts,
which maybe will work well with the whole Joker thing.
Maybe. The Joker, them taking kind of a different look at it, and by that I mean exploring the character, which is something typically comics try to shy away from.
Hold on, because there have been attempts at Joker's origin story and explaining where he came from, but because of I think that everyone just gravitates more and is more accepting of this idea that we don't want to know more about the Joker. He's just chaos incarnate. So even in the cases where they try to explore it or they try to give him an origin story, there's also a caveat somewhere in there that you can point to and be like, but see, because of this, is it the real story?
Yeah, I mean, that is something that has been explored multiple times with the Joker, and I think we saw it actually shown best two times. So once in The Killing Joke, in the famous monologue, where he says, sometimes I remember it one way and sometimes another.
Mm-hmm.
But also in The Dark Knight, where he tells his origin story. Yeah, he tells it differently every time.
Well, and even in the, I forget what the title of it is, but I'm pretty sure it's what the Joker's based on. We've seen the one where he, you know, puts on the Red Hood for the first time. He's trying to help this mob or whatever it is, and you know, and Batman's the one that knocks him into a vat, right?
The vat of acid. Yeah, and talking about the original movie.
Right. But then even that one in the comic version of this, even at the end of that, he has a line or a reference where you're basically, you know, you kind of point to the fact he's unreliable, and even that story might not be the true one.
The correct story. I mean, we've seen that with Under the Red Hood, where they tried
maybe
to explain him as the failed comedian.
That's the one. That's what I'm thinking of.
That's yep. I mean, and exactly. That was a very controversial book when it started, because it was trying to say, no, he's a failed comedian and this is how he became the Joker. And you're right. It wasn't until the last pages where even then it's revealed to us. Yeah, but that could also just all be bullshit, too. Mm-hmm. Like, that's who the Joker is. You don't. And I think that's the mystique and the allure of the character.
Oh, absolutely.
Is when you try to explain why he is the way he is, nothing lives up. Nothing can possibly live up to that level of crazy. So because they've always kind of taken this approach of, it's just a bunch of made up stuff. No one actually knows. It allows us, the viewer, to have our own theories about where he came from that also don't live up, but we have our own theories about it. And that's kind of the fun. So they kind of talk about it here. This was director Cameron Bailey told the Toronto Sun. First of all, it's terrific, referring to the movie. So it should play on our largest stage, but it's a really original take on comic book movies and on the Joker character in particular. So my question is, can a comic book movie be well received and well loved without comic book fans? Because I've sensed for Joker to do well, that's what's going to have to happen.
That's an interesting question. Can it do well in the box office without comic book fans? Maybe.
Critically,
sure. I think critically, like as far as critic, if it comes out and the critics all love it, then sure. Critically, it's a success. Can this be a successful movie in the eyes of the studio if comic book fans don't love it? Yes. Can it be if comic book fans hate it?
Because those are different things.
No, and this and I think this is why we have seen time and time again that when a movie comes out, if critics love it, fans love it, great.
Yeah,
movie comes out and critics hate it, but fans love it because fans will make their own judgment. Great.
Right. We have gotten to that point now where fans will, I'll make my own decision.
Exactly. Yeah. We're not going to go off of the words of the critics.
No one goes in the paper, sees the 2-star review and says, eh.
But we do go off of our own word.
Yeah, we do.
And if comic book fans are out there saying they hate it, even people who don't consider themselves comic book fans, I don't think that they will realize, oh, well, the comic book fans don't like it because it doesn't live up to their expectations. I'm still going to give it a try. Because we are so passionate and because social media is our space, I think that negativity among comic book fans will be so prevalent that they won't be able to discern between the two. They'll just see, oh, that was a terrible movie.
That's fair. I mean, when's the last time comic book fans loved a DC movie, I suppose? Like
Aquaman?
Yeah, they liked Aquaman.
Wonder Woman.
Yep. That's it, right?
Shazam.
You know what? I haven't seen Shazam yet. I missed that one.
Worth it. Worth seeing.
Worth seeing? Okay. That's interesting. But despite, like, Batman v Superman being universally blasted, basically, it still made a ton of money. People went and saw it. So I guess the question...
I don't think Justice League made a lot of money, though.
I think it did.
I think that it profited.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a lot.
Okay, I could see that. I mean, for one of those movies to profit, they have to make a lot of money. Looking at you, Dark Phoenix. Did you see about that, by the way?
A lower turnout than what even the Fantastic Four reboot did.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's rough.
It may actually hold the record for the worst comic book movie now in terms of box office take.
Disney buys Fox and immediately gets that albatross dumped in their lap. I mean, they had to know.
Well, it was coming, yeah. So that was basically... And honestly, I think that probably contributed to it, as everyone knows. That's the end of the Fox stuff. Why do I want to go and see it? That's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to say about the Joker movie.
Okay.
Okay? Is that every time that I see a trailer for it... Besides the fact that I know what the Joker represents to us, and that I know that an intrinsic part of what makes us love his concept is that he doesn't have an origin, that aside, there's nothing in the trailer that I look at and hate and think, nah, that can't work. That ain't gonna work.
You know, I got a distinctly Final Fantasy 15 impression from the trailer, and when I say that...
That is such a weird thing to say.
When I say that,
we need an explanation.
What I mean is, I'm pretty sure I'd have liked Final Fantasy 15 a ton if it didn't have Final Fantasy in the title.
Ah, so if you, it wasn't, you think
if this
that,
was just a movie that was coming out, that was, I don't know.
How about this? Instead of it actually being the Joker,
yeah.
If they would have built it in a similar way that Brightburn was, he's obviously Superman. Right?
Right.
But they're not calling him that because, A, they can't get the rights from it.
Because, A, they'll get sued.
Right, and it's just a different, like, darker take on it. If they would have came out with it and just called it something different...
Yes. If it,
and everyone would have looked at it and said, well, that's the Joker, obviously.
Right, it's clearly supposed to be that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think, like, that it'd be that sort of thing. Because it's called the Joker, and I have a long-established history with that character... It brings a set of expectations with it. And whether that's fair or not, right? Like, I can look at it objectively and go, of course, it's a movie. It's something different. I need to treat it that way. But I also was a kid in the 90s who grew up watching Batman and the Joker fighting. It's hard to separate those two things.
You know, we'd love to know what you think. You're listening to The Other Identity, a podcast about comic books and comic book culture and superheroes, brought to you by Checkpoint XP. So my next question for you then is, and I feel like we have come a long way as a culture, right?
Yeah.
As nerds, from what we used to expect out of comic book movies, you know, back during like the Sam Raimi Spider-Man run, right? Because I was even still going to those and being like, that's just how it was in the comic, or that's not how it was in the comic.
Yep.
But when we look at comics again, 80 years worth.
Right. There's a lot of garbage in there.
That as well. But there's a lot that they can draw from. And I think everyone sort of has their own attachments to different arcs or different eras of it. You know, two people, you know, you remove yourself five years from each other. Two people that go to see a movie, you might have one person going, that's not how it was in the comics. that I read, and the other person going, that's exactly how it was in the comics, but, and it's something I think Marvel is starting to do very well now, just as every time a new run of comics comes out, they want to do something new, should movies not also be allowed to do something new with the characters and the properties?
Well, I think so. I mean, you look at, I mean, just look at Joker and portrayals in the past. I mean, we saw, you know, the Dark Knight Joker, who is very, I would say very 70s, late 80s Joker, a little bit darker, actually more of 2000s Joker, a little more grimdark.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had Jared Leto's the Juggaloker.
I've never heard it called that.
Oh,
that
really?
Hurts.
It hurts because it's true.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you got, and that's very, you know, early 80s from the comics, that era of the Joker. And then, I mean, the original, the Jack Nicholson one was 60s.
There is an image out there that came out about the time the Suicide Squad did that showed all the Jokers and was like, you know, the clown, the gangster,
yeah.
They do each have a very like specific vibe to them. And so, yeah. And I mean, and that even just comes down to how the actors decide to portray them. Cause you know, remember when, Heath Ledger was first cast as the Joker. I remember, you know, being in the car with my friends and one of them, you know, reading that. And we were all just kind of like,
I remember legit everyone like in my group being like, the guy from A Knight's Tale?
Yes, everyone that was just kind of like, really?
The dude from Brokeback Mountain?
Yeah.
What?
And now...
I don't think anyone... I don't remember everyone going, that's the one.
Right.
That's the casting.
But now you can't not talk about the Joker in film...
Without mentioning him.
Not just mentioning him, giving him serious consideration as one of the best. And it's not. And I honestly believe that had he not passed away, you know, during all of that, he'd still be in the conversation.
I believe he'd probably still be playing the Joker.
That's fair. That's fair.
I think he'd be the Mark Hamill. Like,
yeah,
he'd be playing him all the time. But yeah. So,
but even not just discounting the way that people play and portray them, but even the stories told.
Yeah, and I do think it makes a good. You make a good point. Films are allowed to try to do something different, just like comics do every time there's a new.
I mean, I'm at the point now where I don't think they should just try. I think that it's incumbent on them to do something different. You're a completely different medium from what comics are.
Right.
You can do things that the comics can't.
Right. You have to tell. And you're forced to. You have to tell the story differently. You cannot tell. Like, if they wanted to do Under the Red Hood, let's say that's the story they wanted to tell. You cannot. One-to-one Under the Red Hood from graphic novel to movie. It's going to be awful.
Well, and consider the way that we consume comics and consider the way that we consume movies, even by the very nature of how they're developed and they're made. You can read a comic every single month. We get, you know, a Spider-Man movie once every 4 years.
Yeah. So how on earth would you possibly try to tell stories in the same way? Like, if I'm gonna, like, I can't expect, like, okay, like when we had Iron Man, right? I can't expect Iron Man 2 to pick up exactly after Iron Man 1
Peter
leaves
Parker
off.
Can't be in high school for, you know, ever.
8 years.
80 years.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because and like, if you look through like Superman was basically the same character from the 40s, I'd say safely through the 70s, he was pretty much the same character,
mm-hmm.
just with more and more ridiculous superpowers added on as time went along.
Yeah.
How could you possibly expect movies to tell things in the same way? Now, I don't think that excuses them from doing an origin story, because the origin story is, I think, the most abused thing in film.
Oh, sure. You know what? And actually, being that we're near the end of the show, I like the sort of irony in talking about the origin story at the end of the show here. You're listening to The Other Identity. You guys can, if you're finding us on the podcast, you know, we encourage you to come and find us live over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. We record this very show every Thursday about 3:30 p.m. Eastern time.
So, you talk about the origin story.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the Joker goes, just to tie it back to what we've been talking about, the Joker, we've seen an origin story in Batman, 1989. And I think that's it. I don't think we got an origin story. We didn't for Heath Ledger's Joker. We didn't for the Joker.
Yeah, right.
We didn't for Cesar Romero's.
I'm
never going to stop calling him that. We didn't for Cesar Romero's Joker.
Well, here's what's interesting too about just villains in general across all of the different properties is even when we're shown how they're created, that's still very, very small compared to the hero's origin story, which has also came a long way.
And whether that's true, whether it's done well or done poorly. I mean, look at the Vulture, right?
Mm-hmm.
We see, okay, here's why he's mad. And then fast forward, he's now the Vulture.
Yeah. Well, because I think that the whole idea of the origin story and people getting sick of it really came to a head when we knew that the Spider-Man were going to be rebooted again. And we're like, oh, we don't want another origin story. But you know what? Spoilers between Civil War, Homecoming and Far From Home, you got an origin trilogy and y'all didn't even realize it, right? Because when we think of the origin story, we think of the hokey way that they used to do it, where it's like, oh, we got to show them how they turned in and got their powers,
right?
We think bit by a spider, and here's a silly montage of Tobey Maguire on the subway trying to figure out whatever, you know.
Right, exactly. We think of the origin story as the moment they got their powers, mm-hmm. or discovered their powers,
but an origin is really more about when the hero or villain, I think, accepts who they are, right? Mm. Which, again, with Far From Home is something that Peter's just now starting to do. And it's also something like when you look at the Netflix series, you know, what a lot of people loved about Luke Cage and Jessica Jones is you didn't get any hint about what became of them until halfway through the Jessica Jones series, where they're sitting there at like having tea or lunch or something. And he goes, how'd you get your powers? She goes, car crash into a blah, 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 blah. Yeah. What about you? Military experiments. Done.
Yeah, that's
it. And then in season two, you get more, you know, like the whole season revolves around it. And in season one of Luke Cage, again, you get a few flashbacks of it. But they take their time telling it. They take their time showing that to become the hero, you have to go through a lot more than just a silly montage.
Yeah, and I think that's where this movie has to be very, very careful. Because by nature of having a villain's origin story, you risk becoming Thanos. Too many people at the end of Infinity War were sympathetic to Thanos. They were, and many were.
I see.
So I do not want to walk out of that movie sympathetic to the Joker.
If this is the Joker character, by the end we shouldn't be sympathetic to him. Why? It would be something new for the Joker, which we just said that movies should be allowed to explore.
I get it, but he's the Joker.
Here's the thing.
That's the raw emotion behind it.
Just because you're sympathetic towards him doesn't mean that you can't still hate him.
Mm.
And honestly, if this movie can do both, if by the end
you hate his guts,
we feel the way that we normally feel about the Joker, but at the same time, you understand how he got there. I don't necessarily think those are conflicting. The only thing for me that's conflicting about it is I feel like it's so anti-Joker to understand him.
It is.
I feel like we shouldn't understand.
Maybe that's where I'm losing you. So not maybe the issue isn't sympathy. He shouldn't come off as a tragic figure, I guess.
I mean, I even think that he can be tragic, but the whole idea is you're not supposed to be able to get inside his head.
Yeah, I mean, so does that mean they have to have it that something has been fundamentally wrong with him the whole time? Something we don't grasp or understand?
I don't think you show him a
relatively normal guy. And you go through the, brother killed by the mob, girlfriend carved up by some mugger. If you go that route of it, or the abusive parents, if you go that route with it, isn't he just kind of a guy at the end of it?
Yeah, no. And I think that that's going to be where this movie fails as a comic book movie, is I think that it does have to sacrifice some of what we as fans know to be an established part of his character, right? Because, I mean, we see in the trailers, he seems to have some type of very, very close relationship with his mother, who he's caring for.
Right.
There also does seem to be something developmentally wrong with him as well.
Sure.
Which, you know, is a whole nother discussion about, again, how media portrays, like, the mentally ill and stuff like
of
that.
Of course.
Blah, 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 blah. But it does seem like... And remember also that everyone is a hero in their own story,
Yeah.
Because what I'm getting from the trailer right now is that he does live a very difficult life. He's doing the best he can. He's trying to live up to his own set of standards or morals or codes or whatever it is. He has some idea of what is good, but the world is constantly shitting on him.
And it doesn't work for, like, his idea of what can be good does not jive with the world he lives
exactly. in. Exactly. And that somehow pushes him to eventually find a way to take control of his world. And to do that, he has the transformation into the Joker.
I think
that that's fascinating, but at the same time, you are going to lose part of what normally makes the Joker the Joker, and that is this enigma, this chaos that we as sane individuals can't lock onto.
And that's the difficulty, and I think it highlights why comic book fans so often don't know what they want, because I'm dealing with this myself. Like, I say, like, I don't want the movie to reduce him to just being some dude. He's the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think on the other side of things, although that said, one of his most famous lines is all it takes is one bad day to reduce the sanest man alive to lunacy. And if they play with that theme, that all it takes is one bad day, that could be an incredible story.
Right. Here's what we have to, I think, be cognizant of when we go into movies like this, is we obviously have a laundry list of this is what X hero should be like.
Right.
Right. And I think that so long as, in a general sense, they hit the majority of that, it's fine. We can't or we shouldn't decry a movie because, oh, look, they got everything right except for this one thing.
For sure.
You know, that's what all the different takes on it are like. And again, not all comic book takes are great. Not all movie ones are going to be great.
True.
I was not a big fan of the Joker in the New 52.
Yeah, he was okay.
Yeah, exactly.
He was good in Death of the Family, and that's kind of it. I thought Endgame was really overrated.
Yeah. So, honestly, I guess this is the point where I'm actually admitting to myself now that I do want to see it. I was probably going to, but yeah. I think after this conversation, like, honestly, this might be one of the first really good things that DC does for comic book movies.
And the more I think about it, if the review had just been like, DC is trying to do the Joker as they've told, you know, as the comic books portray him. Actually, I don't know if I want to see that after Suicide Squad. Yeah. I don't know if I want to see that after any of the DC movies I've seen. Hearing that it's something really different. All right, my curiosity is piqued. I kind of want to see what you do with that character, because
yeah.
He could be here's and maybe that's why the Joker is such a great character. He's a character who can be interesting outside of comic books. He's a character who could be interesting in other media. I feel like
if you do him differently,
if you do him different, and ironically, if you make him more of just a guy,
thing. You do have to, I think, find a way to humanize him a little bit more, because the Joker as he appears just. In Batman in general,
right.
what
can't descend on the crime scene with an umbrella dropping Joker
like?
Bombs on people.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, for example, I mean, you know, there's been times where, like, he puts, you know, Batman like on a giant, you know, merry-go-round with explosives,
right.
Or whatever. So what does a Joker movie look like? Do we get an hour of him like prep time?
It can't
like,
be
with
him.
His thugs. Batman's going to be here in an hour, guys. Get those bat decorations up on this.
Right.
Like,
it can't be him doing the plan to put the Joker smiles on all the fish and then copywriting fish.
Right.
Like, it can't
like,
be
what?
That
We have a weekend of him actually putting the Joker faces on the fish, tossing them back into the...
Right. It has to be something different.
It does.
And you know what? All right. Yeah, this conversation's gotten me there.
Yeah.
I'm ready for this movie to come out. I'm ready to go see it.
So, yeah, you know what? We'd love to know what you guys think. Let us know. How'd you feel about the Joker movie beforehand? Have we changed your mind? Are you thinking about it differently? Are you going to go and see it?
Have the trailers changed your mind?
That's right, because they did for me, but I didn't allow myself to believe it. But... they have. This looks like it could be good. And honestly, if DC lets us down again, then what else is new?
Yeah, exactly. You've hurt me before.
Yeah, but that's going to be it for us today, guys. Thank you so much for joining us for The Other Identity. Joe, take it away.
Will Joaquin Phoenix be any good as the Joker? Will Robbie cosplay the Juggaloker?
Oh,
find
stop.
Out next time. Same Twitch channel, same Twitch time.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.